Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Is Bully Ray leading the Aces and Eights like Virgil and WCW? What did Michael Bay say about The Rock? And who's returned in TNA after a double ACL tear? All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Zack Ryder finally wins, but in a dark match. So what happened here, Aaron?
It's a win. It's a win.
A win is a win. Yes.
And he apparently didn't come out in his normal ring gear. So it looks like they might be repackaging Zack, your boy. Zack Ryder.
Yes, my boy Zack Ryder. Yeah, I thought that was really interesting that they're going to finally turn him heel, which I think should have been done a little bit ago. But hey, you know, you don't want to do too much too soon. But I'm happy to see this, and I'm glad to hear that they're repackaging him. I just hope that this time when he's heel and he turns face, he's even more over than what he was before. Because I do believe that he could be a major superstar. I don't see him holding on to the WWE Championship, but I can see him with any other title besides that. So another thing also that happened was Michael Bay said something about The Rock. He said he should grow up and stop wrestling. Now, this was taken completely out of context because I saw this and people were posting it. Oh, Michael Bay's such a bad person, blah, 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 for saying this. If you watch it, he's laughing while he's saying it. It's a joke. He's joking with The Rock, and even The Rock made a funny thing about it. Do you think that sometimes people report stuff without actually seeing a video in this case?
Well, there's a tone in there. And let me preface this by saying Michael Bay is a horrible film director. He has made one good movie, and it was called The Rock, ironically enough. And ever since then, he has not made a good movie. Agree with me, disagree with me, all you like. The comment about The Rock was taken completely out of context. He said it jokingly because he got injured. And so he was saying, oh, man, I want him to stop wrestling, you know, because he got injured. And then he recanted, you know, he retracted, he backed up and he said, look, you know, it was a joke. You know, I hope he continues wrestling. And, you know, The Rock is going to do that. I think, you know, when you don't like somebody and you see something happen, you immediately assume the worst. So, you know, like Triple H, for example, I have a disdain for Triple H. And so whenever he does something, I'm like, oh, it's for his ego. It's for his ego. That's my initial thought when, you know, it may not be for his ego. It may not be. So, you know, I would just say this, like, you know, with anything, just because you read it, you know, take a look at it and see like where it was said, the context of it and whatnot. Andy, I want to move on, though, to what I think is probably one of the biggest news stories this week, which is Chris Sabin is going to make his long-awaited return to TNA next week.
Yes, after a double ACL tear, Chris Sabin is coming back. And actually, I think he's sporting a little bit different look than what he was doing before. A little bit longer hair, just a different look. Kind of dig it. I just wish that we would see Motor City Machine Guns.
But, yeah, I would like to see Alex Shelley back, but, you know, he's I believe he's over in Japan.
He's been in Japan
right now.
And got to give him credit. He's doing good over there. I'm excited to see some of the IPVVs that they're going to be putting out with him in it. He's always been a good wrestler, and it would not surprise me if what was said was true, that he basically knew he was going to the WWE. He wanted to wrestle in Japan because that was his dream, kind of like what MVP did, but MVP's still wrestling over there. And I'm just looking forward to seeing MVP back. And also, I would like to see Shelley and Sabin maybe reform Motor City Machine Guns. Yes. So let's move on to WWE programming this week. So Triple H accepts Brock Lesnar's challenge. So does this mean that at the C pay-per-view, as we'll say, that he's actually going to, Lesnar's going to win. Is that what's going to happen?
I don't know. I don't know. Here's my thing. I think that Triple H, because like I said earlier, I have a disdain for him. I can see him saying, no, I need to get the win over him. But smart booking tells me Lesnar's going to win, because where else do you go with Lesnar? If Lesnar defeats Triple H, Lesnar then can use that momentum to go towards somebody else. For example, at the next pay-per-view, which is Payback? Yeah, Payback.
Extreme Rules.
Well, I'm sorry, after Extreme Rules. The one after Extreme Rules
is Payback. Yeah. In Chicago.
And so you can have Lesnar challenge Cena, maybe. You know, you can have Lesnar going up against somebody else, you know, another big name person. And then it is more reasonable. So that's why I think that Lesnar will probably win at Extreme Rules.
Yeah, and you know what? It'll definitely happen. And one thing also I want to point out that the WWE did very smart this week, or this year. There was no March pay-per-view. There was WrestleMania in April. And guess what? There's not a second April pay-per-view. I was actually kind of happy with that, because I think there's too many pay-per-views, and I think this year they're only going to have 11, which I'm kind of excited about.
Nope, 12.
It is 12? Okay, my bad. So they're going to have two in October, which is a waste.
Yeah. Well, they do an early and a late October. I guess October is a really big month for pay-per-view revenue, which is why they're doing it that way. You know, TNA, same thing with them. You know, they have a January, a March, June? And then
no, they have one actually in 2 weeks, May 3rd. It's the Joker's Wild pay-per-view.
They have a main pay-per-view January, March, June, and then October.
Yeah.
So and they did the research. They, you know, they didn't just randomly choose those. They said, look, here are the big pay-per-view times. And WWE, same thing with them. If they were choosing to have two pay-per-views in October, there's a good reason behind that. I do agree with you, though. I do like the fact that there was one pay-per-view from basically you have January, February, April, and then May. And I like that, too. I know they did something very similar last year. But anyway, Andy, the match at Extreme Rules, to get back to Lesnar and Triple H, it is in a cage. Do you think that this helps out Lesnar, helps out Triple H? Is that even going to matter?
It's not going to matter. It's just going to be a bloody mess when it's all said and done. I'm hoping they do something with a steel cage where they say you can't escape. You must survive. That, to me, would be pretty cool. They can't go. But the only problem is, I guess you can't say that, because then they won't go up to the top and take, you know, a weird bump from the top rope going out, trying to go outside.
I just want to go on record saying that I absolutely hate it when they walk out the door of a cage. A cage match, to me, you have to climb over the top, or you just pin them. You know, that to me is a cage match.
Now, if they did that, that would be different. See, if they say you cannot escape, there's going to be no doors, you can only escape or pin or submit, then it's worth it. Or even if they said escape or pin only, no submissions, no rope breaks, that would be really interesting then. But anyway, so Chris Jericho, of course, made his return on Raw, which the crowd loved. He's actually touring over in Europe with a Fozzy. That's why he was able to do it. But yeah, so he continues to get trolled by Fandango, which I don't get. But I will say that Chris Jericho, do you think that he should be given credit to Fandango? You know, him being over?
I don't know, maybe. But so he's controlled by Fandango, who obviously was really over. And because of what happened with Jericho and Fandango, Jericho lost his match to Ziggler, which had he won, he would have been involved in the three-way at Extreme Rules. It seems like they're going to have Jericho and Fandango go at it at Extreme Rules in, you know, some sort of gimmick match. Is this the time that you let Jericho get his heat back, or do you have Fandango go over again?
No, you have Fandango go over, because one thing Jericho said is that he'll come back if there's a reason. His reason is to put over Johnny Curtis. He puts him over. Fandango, that character, then he basically puts him over because no one's going to like him. They're going to boo him even more because he will some way somehow beat Chris Jericho in a cheap way. I dig it. I do believe that Fandango will be bigger because he beat Chris Jericho. If he beats Fandango, then what's the point? Where do you go from here? I mean, then that doesn't make any sense. Now, if he beats Jericho up really bad and then like dances on him or something like that, which would be hilarious, to me, that would be funny. Chris Jericho goes away for a while, and then when Jericho comes back for the third time this year, that's when he should be able to pin Fandango. But the other problem is, does he pin him cleanly, or does some way, you know, that's actually, you know what, that might be a bad idea, and I think about it. Because then Fandango's character will go down. His stock won't be as high as it was. But
yeah, I don't know. I think that it's a really tough line to walk here. I would say you probably have Jericho win this one, and then you have Fandango, you know, win the third round, you know, like at Payback, let's say. Or on Raw even, you know, just show it as a free match or a match on free TV. That's probably the route I would go. And then, you know, when Jericho comes back, you know, later this year after he leaves, then, you know, maybe have him move on to somebody else.
But I do like the fact, though, that Chris Jericho can leave, come back, and it's like he's never left. That's one thing I do like.
People love him.
And it's almost like the feud with Ziggler has always continued this entire time, which I liked. And, of course, it kind of stung because, well, Jericho lost to Dolph Ziggler in a good match, actually, for a free TV. And if you guys are wondering who that blonde-haired woman was who reminds you maybe of Maryse a little bit, her name is Summer Rae, and she is down at NXT right now feuding with Paige. Anyway, so Tons of Funk and Road Scholars continue their feud. Where do you go from here, dude?
Oh, they're continuing their feud. This is the longest running feud for WWE right now. It's been going on before WrestleMania, and it's still going on, and it's a tag team feud. So my question to you is there an end game to this?
That's what I've been trying to figure out with Hogan and Bully Ray.
What is that end game? Exactly. What is the end game?
The only thing I can think of here is that somehow you would bring Tons of Funk up. That's the only thing I can think of right now, because I can't. Where is the end game besides, oh, they have a match on Main Event and it's over with? Oh, OK. I mean, I like Road Scholars. Tons of Funk. I kind of dig, you know, they're all right. It's entertaining. I do like the fact that tea, or what do they call them now? Iced tea.
Or sweet tea.
Sweet tea. I do like that, how they've done that with Tensai, or with Prince Albert's character, which I thought was kind of cool. But almost bring Prince Albert back and have him be the dancing guy. Isn't it funny, though? That was his character when he left, and it's still his character now, even though he was Tensai and tried to be like a powerhouse, even though they didn't know how to book him properly.
Yeah, they should bring back Test is what they should do.
Oh, dude, that's too soon. Ryback have a segment that involves the great Mick Foley, whose DVD was released on Tuesday, or Blu-ray, depending on how you look at it. And I don't get the Cena Ryback dynamic still. I mean, it's set up where Cena's going to win. So what happens with Ryback's character? I mean, don't get me wrong, I like seeing Mick Foley, and it's great to see him on there. I haven't finished watching his documentary on DVD and Blu-ray, but it's been pretty decent so far. I think I've already knew all the stuff that he talked about in the first half, but it's one of those things where what's the end? You know, we always have to think, what is the end game for the feud? What is it for this? Because if Ryback loses, he's not considered he's considered weak, because Cena beat him up.
Here's how you do this, Andy.
DQ.
Exactly. Okay. That is the only way that if you want to salvage this, Ryback, Cena wins by DQ, Ryback wins by DQ. It has to be one of those two things. You have Cena win by DQ, you know, if Ryback gets really mad and then hits him with a steel chair. I don't know what type of match they're going to have. I don't know if they said it or not. But you have it so where Ryback goes off or even throws the referee out of the way. And then that way Ryback doesn't lose his heat. However, though, if Cena pins Ryback cleanly, if he does, or makes him submit, which he made Chris Benoit submit, all right? You know, if that says anything. If he makes Ryback submit or pins him cleanly, then you literally just pushed him down into the role of mid-card. and he's going to be wrestling Damian Sandow, and he's going to be wrestling Antonio Cesaro and losing matches to them. That's where he will be at. If they really want him to be a real main eventer, then you have him take on people like Kofi Kingston. You have him take on people like The Miz. You have him take on people that will help make him credible. The problem with pushing him like this too fast and too soon, you are going to make people go, well, is he really worth it? Is this really what you want to do? And having him turn heel in front of a mark crowd that made people go, oh, sweet. You know, he just wants the title. He's still a good guy. He just wants the title. And then next week it's like, oh, wait, no, actually, he did turn into a bad guy. And I know we were all confused about it. But yeah, that's actually what happened. So and I don't think Foley added much to the segment, to be honest. I like Mick Foley, and he normally is really great, but I thought that he looked really, really out of place in that segment.
And I think the only reason he was even out there was to somewhat promote his DVD and Blu-ray that came out, his documentary, and his Best of Matches for All of Mankind, I think is what it's called. That's pretty much the only reason why he came out for that segment. Didn't make sense still, but, you know, whatever. I don't book this stuff, and if I did, it would probably be a lot better. So let's move on to our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger, a podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installed with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is, and make sure you use a special coupon code Off the Mark, and you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86 Off the Mark page. There are so many deals going on right now. The one they have right now is if you click on that banner and use WWE Save 10, if you spend more than $70 on your order, you'll save $10 off it. And they have tons of WrestleMania 29 gear that's going to be going on sale. Actually, they're on sale now. And pretty much in the next few weeks, it'll be on clearance because it's over. Anyway, so also check out highspots.com. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling this week. So here's something interesting that I didn't know until afterwards. But the show was delayed by 40 minutes. 40 minutes before the impact that everyone saw was a 40-minute delay, which I thought they could fix some of the camera problems they had during some of the matches. But apparently they just left it in there because they don't care. And also the fact that you could hear Mickey James tell Velvetsky what to do the entire match, which I thought was hilarious as well. But yeah, this is interesting. Do you think this is going to help doing a delay like this, Aaron?
I'm actually okay with it. I think that, in fact, I think that most of these types of things need to have a longer delay. You know, when nothing like sports like, you know, NFL or NBA or anything like that. But when you have something like pro wrestling, having a delay, if anything else, can help improve the product. Because let's say you you tape something and the cameraman really messes up. You can say, okay, we have to fix this. We have 10 minutes to do so. It's 10 minutes to air. So you have to go back and you need to fix this segment because the cameraman fell over and we have another shot that we can show instead. And so I think that's something that can be really good. A 40-minute delay to me is kind of surprising. I wonder if those reports are 100% accurate or if, you know, they might be exaggerating a little. But either way, I think that it is a smart idea to have a little bit of a tape delay.
Now, and they said they did this because in Corpus Christi, the crowd was dead the entire show, which makes sense. I'm wondering if they actually taped Explosion first, because that's the only thing I haven't found yet. I'm wondering if they taped Explosion first, and then they taped, then they showed Impact, quote unquote, live, and then the second show, which I'm assuming will not be a full 2 hours. I'm assuming it's only going to be about an hour after the fact. I'm wondering if that's how they're going to do it from now on, which to me, it's fine, but I haven't got my tickets yet for when they come to Peoria, but soon they will. We will get them. And of course, a couple people from the friends of the show will be going to the show with me as well. And we will not sit upper bowl because if you notice on the show tonight, they had just about the entire, actually everything upper level was tarped off, which I thought was interesting, and tons of empty seats. But something did cool happen, you know, at the very beginning was that Daniels and Kaz, they're trying to reform Fortune. And I'm kind of digging this storyline. You know, what are they going to do with Austin Aries? I'm wondering if he's going to be the fourth member of Fortune.
Well, depends on who they get in for it. You know, they were it was obviously kind of a troll segment, you know, what are really a troll segments that they were having, because that was going on over and over and over again throughout the night. I like Kaz and Daniels. I think that they are a good team. I think that they do bring a lot to the table. I think that if you had a really good, strong tag team division, that they would be, you know, people who I would, you know, pay to see, you know, take on Motor City Machine Guns, you know, take on Beer Money, people like that. But I don't know. I don't see Fortune actually reforming. I just think that this is more, you know, kind of fun segments.
Yeah, and it is fun. It's nice to see, you know, them, you know, trying to, you know, doing something different, because I like the fact Daniels and Kaz, I like that dynamic with those two guys, because they make me laugh every week. They're like perfect together. If they broke them up, I'd actually be ticked right now. But I do like the dynamic between those two guys, and, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing Fortune come back or just tease it even more, but we'll see what happens. So Aces and Eights took out Joseph Park. And this basically to me sounds like Abyss is coming back. Do you think Abyss is going to make his return?
He needs to at some point in time. And, you know, they've been teasing this for quite a while. I know that you're a big fan of Joseph Park, though, right?
Okay, it's because I didn't know that Abyss was him as well. So let's just throw that out there right now.
But you are a fan of his, though, right?
In a way, but it's almost like we're... What's the final thing for Joseph Park? It's almost you gotta say, okay, I'm done, walk away. You know, is that what's gonna be, or is he just gonna be, you know, I'm going back to my job, thanks to TNA, blah blah, and then walk away? I mean, that to me that would be fine, but he also, his hair's growing out a little bit more, and I'm betting that Abyss is coming back because of it.
Yeah, probably. You know what's interesting is I've read on quite a few message boards. I got a buddy who really likes the storyline. It's interesting. I'm only okay with it. I'm not, you know, like, oh man, this is amazing or anything like that. But I see people on message boards saying that this is one of the best things Tina has going for it. And I don't know if maybe I'm just so jaded about it. I know that the guy who plays, I think his name is Chris Park. His range is really great because, you know, he played Abyss, which is this monster type character. And, you know, now he's playing this lawyer. And to be able to go from one dynamic to another, honestly, is pretty cool to be able to do. And it does show quite a bit of range for an actor.
I just thought about something. What if they did something where it turns out that he has two different personalities?
They probably will.
That would work.
They probably will.
And that would actually explain a lot of things with the whole Joseph Park thing. But yeah, so it's very interesting. The other thing I thought was really cool is that Matt Morgan called out Hulk Hogan. They came out, talked for a while, and so
did you think of this segment?
I was happy with this segment because it seemed like Matt Morgan's like, listen, I could join Aces Eights if I want to, but I don't want to. I want the World Heavyweight Championship. And if I have to stay on TNA side to get it, then I'm gonna stay on TNA side. And I do believe that he will not join Aces and Eights because I think it'll hurt his character. In fact, I think Ken Anderson being on Aces and Eights is one of the worst things. He's the one guy that should not be on Aces and Eights.
Yeah, I agree. I think Anderson on there helped legitimize him a little bit more. But Matt Morgan, I like this segment with him and Hogan. You know, like watching this, you know, not as a whole, but, you know, at that hour 20 mark or whatever it was, and seeing Matt Morgan and Hogan have their little thing. And Hogan got the upper hand and he said, you know, Andre never came out here and was whiny like you. It was like, whoa, you know what? That's kind of cool. And so it'll be a very cool dynamic down the road when Matt Morgan, you know, is still hounding Hogan about it. But the thing I didn't like, so that part with Hogan in there, I don't mind. And I like Hogan putting over younger wrestlers, like, you know, Matt Morgan's probably like in his 30s. But still, nonetheless, you know, he's helping to put Matt Morgan over as this monster. The thing I didn't like was the end of the show when Hulk Hogan comes out after Bully Ray calls him out and says, I'm going to say this to your face. I didn't like that because I thought, okay, Hogan's been on TV now twice in two very big segments. And that does not need to happen.
And three cuts, too, as well.
Yeah, exactly. Hogan, this on this week's Impact, I like Impact. I like TNA, and I like the idea of them being the underdog and helping to make a good enough storyline for all of their characters, or even trying different things in the world of wrestling. I love that. I really do. But having Hogan there is actually a good thing. People are going to say, oh, get rid of Hogan, get rid of Hogan. When we were there in Florida and when Hogan came out and you hear the crowd erupt and get a bigger pop than anybody else got that night, you know what? It makes sense that they're going to have Hogan there. It really does. So Hogan with Matt Morgan, that's fine. Hogan with Bully Ray, you don't need to have that segment again. Hogan took up 20 minutes of airtime on a show that's an hour and a half long without commercials. So he took up 20 minutes of that. He almost took up one-third of your show. One-third of your show. He does not need to take up a third of your show. Aries should have been featured more in the show. You know, you had Christopher Daniels and Kaz, you know, being featured quite a bit. And, you know, AJ was featured a little bit. You need to feature these other people. Where was the X Division? You know, where was the X Division?
I would like to throw out my nominee for wrestler falling from grace right now, Austin Aries. I'm just saying.
Well, not yet.
It's pretty much. I mean, think of it. He was your champion and then he wasn't. Come on.
Yeah.
And by the way, the fact that he said that, well, Jeff Hardy may actually be thinking about leaving wrestling. Oh, yeah. Like, we didn't know he signed a 2-year deal. Come on.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like you guys announced that. It's not even a behind the scenes turns out Jeff Hardy. It's a, hey, TNA, we just announced that Jeff Hardy signed a long term contract. Okay. That's interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yes. This week's Impact, even though it was live, I was really disappointed with it. I was surprisingly disappointed with it. And in fact, I really wish that they would have redone the script. They had 2 weeks to work on this thing. 2 weeks. And this is the crap that they put out? No. No, you don't do that. You do not do that. You do a better job. And I really hope that next week's Impact, which I know is being taped tonight, I hope that it's much better. And if not, then they're going to have an uphill battle.
And that's a sad thing right now with the way Impact is going right now. So it's very unfortunate. But I said, I don't want them to fail. I want them to succeed.
And here's the other thing, too. When WWE has a bad show, they're such a big company that it doesn't really hurt them because people are going to just watch anyway. This past week's Raw sucked. And SmackDown was much better, all right? Main Event was probably much better than Raw was this week.
Main Event was horrible. Let's just put it this way. Mark Henry had to go through a gauntlet match. And then he ended up, I can't remember who he faced, the final person. See, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because that's what my feeling on it is.
But when TNA does a bad show, because they don't have quite the fan base that WWE has, it hurts them. And so they have to then try to gain those fans back to watch the show. And I really hope that they can turn this around. I hope that they can do a better job. I really want them to succeed, so... but anyway, that's enough for my rant.
Yeah, and just to let you know, he took on the Great Khali, and then he walked out. So the Great Khali won. I'm just saying.
That'll put butts in the seats.
Oh, yeah, and get this. Then their next segment that was on Main Event, Zeb Coulter came out, did an interview. Jack Swagger came out for 2 seconds, said he wants to face Del Rio in a no DQ match. And then they had 15 minutes of Raw. So for 25 minutes... it was Main Event, and if last 15 minutes was a recap of what happened on Raw. Great job. Thumbs up right here in Kewaunee, Illinois. Oh, no pop.
So no weekly topic this week.
No, but we'll talk about I'm going to tell you what's happening. What I got on the burner right now. The pay-per-view thing I'll eventually get to. Yes, it's been 100 shows. But I'm going to talk about wrestling, not wrestler themes, but I want to talk about show opening theme songs. And I got a couple favorites, and I'm going to go over those with you. Then you can disagree with me or agree with me. And if I have to, I will play a couple for you, Aaron. So anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, I'll see you in the ring.